always makes me laugh when I look out and there are people saying that you're so happy and you look like your favorite friend just died. I don't know. All right, go ahead and take your Bibles this morning, please. Go ahead and turn to, let's see, why don't we start off in Psalm 12, Psalm 12. If you'd go there today. Again, I just want to, I know Brother Matt's not in here, but I hope that you'll make it a point to thank Brother Matt. If you see him today, he may seem a little bit more happy. If he were here and had the opportunity to say something special that he did last week, he would have said that he got engaged. So that's pretty exciting. Man, that's so like yesterday. You guys didn't know that?
No one told us.
Man. So you'll have to congratulate him and ask him the story of how Savannah popped the question. No, just kidding. Just kidding. No. Just kidding. Just kidding. All right. You're in Psalm 12. We're going to get there. We're continuing our series here and really not continuing, but finishing up living and defending your faith in the day in which we're living. And aside from the messages that he has inserted around different topics, we've been trying to move from the category of reaching out to people who maybe would claim to be atheist or claim to or say that, hey, God doesn't exist. He hasn't shown himself to man. We're trying to move from a place of being able to open their mind, reason with them about the possibility of God. And so that's really where we started with this series. We started talking about the external evidences for God, just in general. And we defined those. And really, that's the first step, really, to opening their mind, to talking about and looking at some very specific things. And hopefully, you took the time when we were talking about those things to write them down. But we want to move them to a place of salvation. Okay? But for somebody who does not believe that God exists, you can't just say, hey, here's John 3:16. Because they have no credibility, there's no credibility from what they're thinking about the book or the verse that you're quoting. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that Scripture doesn't have power, because it most certainly does. And we could look at illustrations of that. But I am saying that for somebody who's way over here, we have to systematically look at our approach and take some steps to bring them to, hopefully, a point of saving knowledge of Christ. So we start off with looking and making the case for God. Once we went on from that, we then said, okay, hey, all right, is it possible that God, a higher being, there could be a creator? And I believe once you look at those things, that all of us have to come to a point where we say, wow, there are just too many coincidences in this life regarding creation and other things. There must be a God. And so hopefully when they come to that place and there's a possibility in their mind, their understanding's been opened just a little bit, then you have to take the next step, which is then saying, okay, listen, if there is a God, if God does exist, has he communicated to man? I mean, that's the question, right? If God does exist and he's created everything, why? What's the purpose of that? You know, what kind of God would that be? And so this is where we can come along and we could say, well, considering what we've already talked about in regards to the world and the external evidences for a creator God, all of that is consistent when we look at how he's chosen to communicate with us as man, and that has come through his word. Okay? And so now we're drawing attention to the scriptures and we're trying to take those next steps. Okay? Before we get too far into things here, let's just ask for God's help. Lord, we love you. Lord, we're thankful that we can study your word. We're thankful, Father, that, Lord, it makes sense. And Father, that when we gather around, Lord, the truth, the facts, Lord, when we look at, Father, the external evidences of Lord, you, Father, we want and have the desire to draw closer to you. Lord, at least we should. And I pray that, Lord, as a result of our study and talking about defending our faith and, Lord, living our faith, reaching out to other people in regards to what we believe, I pray, Lord, it be more real this morning than it's ever been. Lord, I do want to thank you for the visitors that we've got with us here today. I pray, Lord, that we would be friendly. Father, that you would, Lord, provide through this lesson something, Lord, for everyone here. I thank you again for the opportunity we have to study your word, your precious name. Amen. So we bring them to the Bible, and we talked about some external evidences for the credibility of the Bible. Okay, we don't take them to the Word of God and say, okay, well, this says that it's God's Word, so therefore it is. No, we have to remember their building blocks. Okay, God exists. Okay, the Bible exists. What's the credibility behind this book? And we begin to break down the uniqueness of it. Okay, and we did that. We talked about in several areas how it is unique. Some things we mentioned, its continuity. We talked about the authors, their different walks of life, the span that these writings cover, and yet it's consistent with itself. We talked about its extent and the fact that what it says is in harmony with what maybe others find life to be. And we gave examples of that as well. We talked about the character of it. We talked about a lot of different aspects. We don't have time to go through all that. We've got to keep moving. But at any rate, we now then, once we establish credibility and say, okay, there's no other book like this. There's no other book on the face of the planet like this. We cannot look at any other book and say, wow, that book is like the Bible in this sense. No. This is so unique. All right, there's not another book like it. We talked about that. So then what do? We've established maybe some in their mind, some credibility into the fact that, wow, those are some really interesting things. I didn't know that about the Bible. Okay, so their understanding maybe has been opened a little bit more. And then we can ask the question, okay, now that those are the external things regarding the Bible, what does this book say exactly? What does it say about God? What does it say about itself? And that's where we're at this morning. So this is what I want to look at. Okay, what does this book claim to be? And what are some scriptures that we can take folks to in order to answer this question? You're in Psalm. Psalm number 12. And go ahead and look with me at verse 6. So what does the Bible exactly say about itself or claim to be? Look at verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. So these words that the Lord has given us are indeed pure. Let's look at a couple of other references. I'm going to pass out a couple of these because I don't want to spend time turning to all of them. So who can do 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, Micah? Who can do Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, Sophie? Who can do Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13? We'll do Ethan on the end here. That's good. So you guys find those, and then the rest of us will go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. What does this book say about itself exactly? What does it claim to be? We know it's unique, but what's its purpose? What does it say? Isaiah 55, you're looking now at verse 10. And 11. We'll see that together. I want everybody to see that these are important verses. These are really foundational for the Christian life. If we don't have confidence in this book, what do we have confidence in? All right, Isaiah 55, verse 10 says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word," the Bible, "be that go forth out of thy mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it." Okay? The Lord here speaking through Isaiah says, hey, I have a purpose, a plan for this supernatural, unique, but divine book. And it is meant to be a seed sown in the hearts of people. That is the purpose of it. So we can say, hey, this book here has a purpose for every single person on the planet. And God has a purpose to use it in their lives. All right, let's notice 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. Mike, could you find that? If you'd read that, please. Okay, good. Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Who had that? Oh, 1 Thessalonians. Why is that verse important? Why is that that verse important for us? Maybe read it again, Ethan.
For this cause also thank you God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God which you hear of us, you receive it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God which sufficiently worketh also in you that believe.
All right, somebody help me out. Why is that verse important to us? Okay, we're reasoning with someone. We're sharing these verses about what the Word of God says about itself, what it claims to be, and what point would you make in regards to this verse? What would you tell somebody? You'd read that and you'd say, this verse is important because, Ethan, you read the verse. I don't want to go. Yes, Mimi. Say again. Yeah, and that's super important, okay? There's a lot of people that will take they want to take credit for their work, right? You know, if you write a book, you're not going to put somebody else's name on there. You want credit for yourself. Your name is going to be on the book, okay? There are other people that have assembled, quote unquote, religious books that want to take credit for it, okay? It's the work of man, and they say, "Well, I had an idea and I wrote it down or whatever." Okay, but the Bible specifically says that this book is not the words of man. Okay, so that creates that link that we need in sharing God with other people. That this is not just some book that was put together by man, although God did use man. It's a supernatural book in which its contents are literally the very words of God. Okay, I passed out one more. Let's see, Sophie? Yes. Yes, please. Good stuff, all right? It tells the Word of God and how it affects us, okay? All right, so I don't have time to talk about all of the things that I've got here, but turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And again, listen, don't get so bogged down in these verses that you miss the bird's eye view of what we're trying to accomplish here, okay? We want to move people to an understanding of God, a trust for the Scriptures, so that we can show them Christ. Okay, that's where we're getting. Okay, we want them to be able to look at the Gospels and as we quote Scripture, we want them to be able to say, "Wow, this is an unusual book. Wow, it's unique in many standpoints, and wow." So we want to keep moving people towards a position of belief. But you're in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Now, not only does this book tell us exactly, or does God through His Word tell us the purpose of the book, which is to be sown in our hearts, to bring us to a saving knowledge of the Lord so that we can have a relationship with Him. Not only does it claim to be the very words of God, a supernatural book, but it also tells us just exactly how this book came to be, because that's going to be a question, right? If we say, "Hey, these are the words of God, not man," well, that person's going to look at you and say, "Okay, well then, how did this book come into be? Come to be?" Is that a good question? Is it? Yeah, I mean it is. And so we have to address these things. So very quickly, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. A familiar verse. Let's read it together. We all know it. Here we go. Verse 16. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Okay? So the Lord tells us, He says, all Scripture was given how? By inspiration. Now, does this word mean that somebody went to bed after having a box of pizza? Because that's how we eat pizza, right, guys? Boxes. Ladies eat in slices, guys eat in boxes. But does that mean, you know, and as they were laying in bed after enjoying the pizza, they suddenly awoke and they were inspired to do something? Is that how inspiration in the Word of God meant? You know, sometimes when we talk about inspiration, it's like spur of the moment, right? It's like, I was inspired to, I don't know, fill in the blank, okay? Whatever you're inspired to do. But that's not, the word here means God breathed. And the Lord's just telling us exactly how He brought about this process. And there's a whole lot of false teaching out there in regards to the doctrine of inspiration. We're not going to get into all of that because, again, we're trying to answer questions. What does this book say about itself? Okay, so given by inspiration of God, it was God breathed. It was intentionally given to certain individuals that the Holy Spirit came upon for the purpose of bringing about a collection of God's thoughts, and has brought about, of course, what we know to be the Word of God. Okay, all right. So inspiration is a part of that. How did it come to be? We can look at Hebrews, where it talks about holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And we don't have time to do that because we've got to keep going. We talk about how the Bible is without error, and the Bible does claim to be without error. We could talk about canonicity, of which I think Brother Matt got to a little bit last week. I think he talked about some canonicity in the Old Testament, and we're not going to talk about that either. But we could also talk about, I got a lot of material here. Yep. The doctrine of preservation, and how did the Lord exactly bring about preserving His Word over time. Some of this stuff we've touched on, little bits and pieces, as we've gone about it, okay? But when you get to that point, and you say, okay, hey, what is the purpose of this book? Okay, how did the Lord put it together? You know, is it in the form that He wants us to have it? How has He preserved it through the ages? And again, that is a miracle of this book. The preservation of the Scriptures, again, is a fascinating, fascinating thing when you're talking to somebody about the Lord. Saying, hey, what other book do you know that was started way back when, is in perfect continuity with itself, and yet, you know, thousands and thousands of years later, we're holding it in our hands. Nobody can say that about any other book. That's just one of the many miraculous things that revolves around this precious book, okay? But when you come to that point, and this is where I'm going to finish because we, again, don't have the time, but this is where I'm going to finish. Once you get to this step, okay, and people are beginning to think a little bit about, wow, there's just something different about this book. There's some undeniable things that I cannot explain away. Then, as you then go into maybe, you know, how the Lord created, you know, creation. You know, there are people, missionaries, that go to the mission field and they start at creation when they're dealing with people who've never heard. They talk about God's plan and how He put it all together and how Jesus Christ impacts all of this. And hopefully, as we go through these steps, making people aware of the existence of God, the existence of this book, and the credibility of it, we then can make a hard turn and go directly towards the subject of Jesus Christ and how a person can know for sure they're on their way to heaven. Okay, there's some qualifying factors that I'm going to share in the final lesson concerning how we can share in regards to our attitude and some things to remember in regards to apologetics in general. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You, God, that we can know You. Lord, You have gone out of Your way, Lord, in a miraculous sense, Lord, to know us. Father, You created us, and yet, Lord, when we were estranged of You, Lord, You have continually reached out with both arms, Lord, so that we could have fellowship with you. Lord, thank you that we hold the truth. Lord, I pray that you would help us to accept it into every aspect of our lives, not just in salvation. But Lord, I pray that you would help all of us to be proactive, Lord, in reaching out to others. Lord, by the way that we live, Lord, also help us to take opportunities, Lord, to share you with other people. I pray that we would not neglect, Lord, the importance of prayer in regards to people who have continually rejected you. Lord, we would be faithful to pray for those and show forth a good life, Lord, a Christ-like life as we continue on. Lord, thank you for these that are here and their diligence to listen, hear your word. We ask that you'd speak to our hearts in the morning service. In your name we pray. Amen.